Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. And it's so good to see each one of you. Tell somebody close to you, I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you. Amen. Don't we serve a good God?
Yes.
Don't we serve a good God? I'm so thankful for all that I see God doing in this place. We talked about it earlier in our 8:30 class where James Cleveland wrote a song that says, Lord, do something. Do it for me right now. The Lord is up to something. I believe the Lord is up to something in our lives collectively, but I believe the Lord is up to something in our lives individually. Yes, and I'm thankful for the presence of God. I received so many text messages on last week of the great service. Dr. McMichael texted me and said, you don't have to come back. We had a great service. I texted him back and said, you are only scheduled for one Sunday and that's it. Get your Sunday and get going. Amen. Let's give our last week's speaker a great big hand for his presence being with us and for the friendship of Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School and their president, the illustrious Dr. Marvin McMichael. I had the privilege of doing an essential church leadership conference in San Francisco, Oakland area last week, and it was a plum joy always to come back to Mount Olivet. And really, even when you go to bigger churches and come back, you see that our church is really far more on the cutting edge than we give our church credit for being. Where some of the so-called big churches are trying to get, God has already taken us there, and he's taken us to even greater places. Give God a hand for the great things that God is doing. I'm thankful for the ministries that are working here in the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. We have a wonderful, and everything that we have that's wonderful always can use more work. Amen. Nothing is complete because this is not a work that you complete. You're always a work in progress. But we have a wonderful youth and young adults ministry that we continue to make greater for the Mount Olivet Church and for the kingdom of God. We have a wonderful Just Us Retirees ministry. I'm trying to get my mother to get more involved in her church. And I said, Mom, we have a Just Us Retirees ministry in our church, and we got to find you that ministry in your church. As a matter of fact, thank you for all the text messages and emails I've gotten about my mother. My mother's doing well. I just say now she just got what I call the 88s. Amen. I talked to my mom this week. I said, Mama, you know, you got a daughter in South Bend, Indiana. You got a daughter in North Carolina. You got a daughter in Nashville. You got me here in New York. I say, we're going to have you. It's a good idea. You can live in New York for 3 months. You can live in Indiana for 3 months. You can live in Nashville for 3 months. And you can live in wherever else the house is, my sibling is. And you can always go back to your house. And I just thought my mama would love that. Your house is there when you want it. My mama said, I tell you what, you go live like a gypsy for a year and tell me how you like living like a gypsy. And if you like living like a gypsy, then you live like a gypsy. But as long as I got my house and I can keep my house, I'm going to keep my house. Amen. I'm leaving today after church to go home to be with my siblings and my mom, because even at 88, we got to make some decisions now, because the same mom who wants to stay in the house, she'll leave the gas on while she's on the telephone. Amen. But she's doing well. Amen. It's just at that time where we have to make some decisions about how we take care of my mother from here on. And thank you for your prayers. And then those of you who have elderly parents, you are in our prayers. Amen. We're thankful for the Just Us Retirees Ministry, the tribe, younger people in our church who are stepping up to the plate. Amen. The women's ministry, a lot of women in this church. Amen. Give God some praise for the women in this church. Amen. Amen. The women are all going to meet just on the organ side immediately after this service, so that you can organize the women's ministry, a great women's ministry, organized for Women's Day, and organized to remain organized the rest of this church's life. Amen. I want to say thank you to those of you who go down to school number 3 to read, to walk the hallways, to give classroom support. All you have to do now is just walk into school number 3 and say, I'm here from Mount Olivet Baptist Church, and I just come to help. They'll send you to a classroom. If you want to read, you can read. You can walk the hallways and help monitor the children. You can go into class. You don't need any training for that, because the kids will train you right quick on what you need to do. Amen. So you don't need any training for that. Amen. Today at between 2 and 5, there's going to be a book release. The book is entitled Empower Now. And the author of the book is Miss Amber Robbins. She's here. Dr. Amber Robbins is here. And I think there are 12, 13, 14 contributing authors to the book. Give her some praise. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. And that's going to be at RIT. RIT. Barnes & Noble. Amen. So if you can go to Barnes & Noble for one of our own members and 14 other contributing authors' book release, that will be great. You see the cross here? We had 2 of the most wonderful Ash Wednesday services that our church has ever had. And I want to thank Ms. Audrey Davidson and Ms. Marianne Henry, along with our Marilyn Wynn and other people in our diaconate and deaconess ministry, deacons ministry, all of you for helping to have a great, successful Ash Wednesday service, getting us ready for Holy Week. Amen. Getting us ready for a big concert. Leave with packs of tickets today so that you can distribute those tickets among your friends and make sure that we have a booming success with our opening concert that's going to bring the community in, so that we can send the Spirit of the Lord out into our community and other people will know about the same Jesus that makes us feel rich when we don't have a dime and want to cry when ain't nothing bothering us. Amen. Amen. Lastly, then I'm going to Joel chapter 2. I certainly appreciate our music ministry here at the Mount Olivet Church. Give this music ministry a hand. And I appreciate our musicians. I'm handicapped when the musicians are not with me and I get ready to do them runs. Those runs just don't run when these musicians are not helping me to run them. Amen. So I really appreciate our musicians. I want to go to Joel chapter 2, the book of Joel. It's the season of Lent, and it is my prayer that all of us are doing a couple of things during this season. One, we're giving up something. But 2, we're adding something to areas in which we have given up something in our life. And somebody asked me, what do you give up? You give up something that will make you a better and stronger Christian. Amen. I was trying to find this. Somebody said, and this is posted, Here are some things that you can give up for the next 40 days. How about rather than chocolate and peanuts and potato chips, those things that really doesn't affect your spiritual life that much. Here are some things that can help you to become a stronger person in the Lord. Give up excuses for the next 40 days. Give up self-doubt for the next 40 days. Give up the fear of failure. Give up the fear of failure. Give up procrastination. Procrastination. Give up people pleasing. Give up the fear of success for 40 days. Give up negative thinking. Give up negative self-talks. Give up the judgment of others for 40 days. And here's one. Tell me how you feel about this. Give up negative people in your circle. Negative people in your circle. And so then you add positive people. You add positive thinking. You add positive actions in your life for the next 40 days and see what God will do for you. Amen. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse, for the sake of reading, I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Therefore, also now, says the Lord, Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it's not a very familiar book in the Bible, so that's why those electronic deals come in quite handy. Therefore, let us also, says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow your trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. I could read on, but I'm going to stop in this Lenten season. And really what I want to talk about is, it's not too late. It's not too late. You still have a chance. On Wednesday in the noon service and in the 7 p.m. Ash Wednesday service, what you see tied, taped, connected to the cross are sacrifices that people have made, commitments that people have made to God for the next 40 days. And some people will think, well, I wasn't here on Ash Wednesday. I did not get to have my hands washed, which symbolizes the cleansing of my heart, the cleansing of my body, my soul. I did not have an opportunity to have ashes put in my forehead, which represented the burnt ashes, the repenting of my life and my soul for all of the things that I have done wrong to God and to God's people. Interestingly enough, all of us in this room have done some wrong. All of us in this room have hurt some people. All of us have hurt God. Maybe you say, I didn't get a chance to offer a sacrifice of which I will be praying to stay committed to for the next 40 days. My message today to you is, it's not too late. The choir sung it well when they said Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. You know, for you and me, our Savior died. But that's not how the story ends. If you need a place to say thank you, Jesus, that's it right there. That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. And this text today that Joel gives us is a text that gives us well knowledge that it's not too late. How do you know it's not too late? Because he woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He gave us another opportunity to get this thing called life right. Do you know what our real goal is from one day to the other? Is to get this thing called life right. I love this text and this message that Joel gives us today. It opens up with the nation of Israel being in trouble. They're under constant watch by their enemies. They're constantly being attacked by their enemies. They have experienced a terrible drought and a massive invasion of locusts. I need somebody to say, it's always something. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to that can say, it's always something? And I know I'm talking to some real rooted in Christ Jesus Christians here who want to get discouraged sometimes. You know why? Because it's always something. And we've been led to believe through the preaching sermons and even through the songs of Zion that trouble is going to be over after a while. But I just want to tell you, not down here. Because the good book says that a man born of a woman is of a few days. Which means you ain't gonna be here long. And it says it's full of trouble. So y'all come here right quick and listen to me when I tell you. When you're always having trouble in your life, remember that God told Pastor to tell you today that you're in good company. You're in company with Jesus. You're in company with the apostles. You're in company with the disciples of Christ when you're always having some trouble in your life. These tragedies that Joel talks about left the land ruined and the people demoralized. The prophet Joel uses these events, listen to me, as an illustration of God's judgment upon God's people. Their specific sin is not named in this book, but a careful reading of the book indicated that the people, listen to me, had slipped into a state of complacency and into a state of apathy. And they had become lazy about the things of God. God used nature and the enemies of Israel as his means of divine judgment. He used trials to awaken the hearts of his people and to call them back to him. So come in, let's talk. You know what I've really learned? I've learned that when I have trials in my life, it's not because God has left me. I've learned, Marilyn, that when I'm having trials in my life, not because God has left me, but because God loves me. And because God sees me slipping backwards and God sees me becoming complacent, he has a way of drawing me back to him. And he has a way of pulling you back to him. So the book of Judges is a book of the book of Joel is a book of judgment. But it's also a book of hope. Wouldn't it be awful to read a book that just had all judgment and didn't have any hope? In this book, God's people are made to understand that even in the midst of divine judgment, there is always hope if we will just seek God's face. The book of Joel was written to the people of Israel. It deals with their past, their present, and their future. It looks back to the judgment of God on them for their sins. God rewarded them for their sins, but God rewarded them for their righteousness. But he judged them for their sins. And you're not going to lose your salvation when you've been born again and do wrong. But God's going to get us for our sin. God's going to judge us for our sin. The book of Joel looks forward to that glorious day when they will enjoy the great blessings of the Lord. In other words, this book is really telling us, as I heard in the prayer, things will get better. Isn't that good news? Things will get better. I mean, while this book was written to the Jews, there is something here for us as well. Like Israel, we live in a land that is under divine judgment. We look at our world and we wonder if there's any hope for the future. And every Christian in here can say, yes, there is hope. Yes, there is hope. Do you know it does not matter how dark it is, there is hope. It doesn't matter how broke you are, there is hope. It does not matter how hurt you are. Remember, it's not because God is punishing you. It's because God is pulling you. Text teaches us that there is hope. It reminds us that with our God, it's never too late. This text teaches us that there's hope for the church. There is hope for this nation. And then there's hope for our future. So let's look at the text a little more depth and see what God might be saying to us. Notice in this text with me, please, the problem. Because when things go wrong, you gotta face the fact that there is a problem somewhere. So the problem, one, in chapter 1, verse 4, they faced devastation. If you go to chapter 1, verse 4, this is what it says. It says, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath eaten has left has the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left, here comes the caterpillar and eats it up. For Israel, it was one insect invasion after another that destroyed the crops, ruined the crops, and there was no food left for the people. Why? Because first of all, it's the palmer worms. After the palmer worms, it's the locusts. After the locust, it's the cankerworm. After the cankerworm, it's the caterpillar. What are you really saying, Pastor? I'm saying if it ain't one thing, it's another. You get the faucet leak fixed, and then the roof start leaking. You get the roof fixed in the house, and then the engine goes out in the car. You get the engine. engine fixed in the car and you gotta have knee surgery, it's always, if it ain't the palmer worm, it's the locust. If it ain't the locust, it's the canker worm. If it ain't the canker worm, it's the caterpillar. But what I'm trying to tell you is, it's always something. And what I want you to know is that when it's always something in your life, it simply means, Opera, you are in good company. So I'm not really concerned or troubled by the folk who have the palmer worm day to day and the locust day to day tomorrow and the canker worm and then the caterpillar. Those are not the people who bring concern to me. What really concerns me is the person who never has any problems. How you doing? Good. How's it going? Great. How are you? Wonderful. I just want y'all to know every day, every day with Jesus is a good day. But can I tell y'all that some of my days, even with Jesus, I have to drink tears for water. Some of my day, I'm talking about the sanctified folk that's saved, full of the Holy Ghost, and you going on in. I'm talking about folk like me. Sometimes I have to cry. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. Sometimes I don't know who my friend. I can't tell my friend from my enemy. Sometimes I ain't talking about y'all that's got a house full of friends. Sometimes my phone rings every day. And sometimes I got to pick it up to see if AT&T done cut it off. Because nobody calls. Can I get a witness here? And so the text tells us the problem was they were facing devastation. But not only did they face devastation, look at the text. They faced destruction. It's right there in chapter 1, verse 5. I need you to do this with me because this is really not the most simple text to preach. So I need you to go to chapter 1, verse 5. And began to read with me, because you got to kind of help me stay connected in order to preach this text, because it ain't that simple. This ain't Job or Paul where you just know it. I need to stay connected to him, and I need you to help me do it. Are y'all there? Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to start reading, and when you get it, just jump in and start reading. It says, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." Verse 6, "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the cheek teeth of a great lion." Verse 7, "He has laid my vine waste and barbed my," y'all there? "Fig tree, he has made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." Amen. Now I need you to go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2 and read with me. Chapter 2, you there? Let's read. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble." That is right there. "For the day of the Lord." Somebody say it like this. "For the day of the Lord." I need those strength right there. "For the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord coming. For it is nigh at hand." Read. "A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there has not been," read, "ever the light, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burning." Y'all there? "And the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them." Verse 4, "The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses And as horsemen, so they shall run. Verse 5. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Got to read on. Verse 6. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Verse 7. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march, everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Verse 8, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk, everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. Read with me. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Two more verses. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? What was that about, Pastor? Their enemies were strong. The enemies were numerous, and it seemed to be too powerful to stop. It seems as though they would be starved out and destroyed by their foes, but they were not. Because when God is on your side, who can be against you? So why did you read all of that for? To say that sometimes you got to go through. But Edgar Van says in Detroit, going through is better than being stuck. So what's the problem? One, they face devastation. Two, they face destruction. But then look, they face desolation. Verses 1 through 8, it's a severe drought that afflicted their land. I mean, there was no rain and all the crops failed. Verses 10, 12, and 17, the herds, you just read it, and the wild animals suffered and perished because there was no water or pasture for them. And then it says in verses 19 and 20 that the fires broke out and destroyed their forests. What I'm trying to tell you, on the Christian journey, it's always something. And I don't care what it is, it's not too late to turn back to the Lord. Sometimes people have a tendency to say, I've come too far. I've come too far. I mean, far the wrong way to turn back to God. It's never too late to repent and be baptized and give God your heart and give God your soul. It's never too late. You woke up this morning, you still have a chance. So is that all you see, Pastor? No, it's not. They face devastation, they face destruction, they face desolation. But what was all of that about? Well, it's right here in the next point. They face discipline. Do you know that God has a way of disciplining us? And sometimes God can make us think that he's turned his back on us. Sometimes God can make us think that he's walked away. They were facing discipline. None of these things were accidental. You know, sometimes we think that it's always something and it's just by chance. No, sometimes God orchestrates the palmer worms. Sometimes he orchestrates the canker worms. Sometimes he orchestrates the locusts in our lives to get our attention. The people had turned against the Lord. And when you turn against the Lord, it's going to cost us. There is a price we pay when we turn against the Lord. Job calls their troubled day the day of the Lord. In other words, he says, the day of the Lord is coming. He says it in chapter 1, verse 15, the day of the Lord is coming. He says it in chapter 2, verse 1, the day of the Lord is coming. He says it in chapter 2, verse 11, the day of the Lord is coming. He says it in chapter 2, verse 31, the day of the Lord is coming. He says it in chapter 3, verse 14, the day of the Lord is coming. In other words, he's saying that we must repent. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming, and we don't want him to catch us with our work undone. Y'all understand? I mean, every time we wake up, I mean, there must be a crucifixion. We're getting ready to celebrate, to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But do you not know there must be a crucifixion that takes place in your life every day you wake up? Crucify my flesh so that my spirit might live. And if we don't have a crucifixion every morning, then you must hear ringing in your ears, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. Every tragedy that gripped them was the work of the Lord. He was judging his people for sin. And as I read about the judgment that fell on ancient Israel, I'm reminded of where our nation, our churches are today. There is little doubt that we're facing the judgment of God even here in America. I mean, I ain't getting into no politics, but when I turn the news on and see how much power other countries have over this country, you know what I say? The day of the Lord is coming. What do we have going on that we haven't had like we have now? Natural disasters are ripping through our nation with greater frequency. Do you know, when I was in California, they took me and they showed me where houses that have sat on hills for years and years and years and years, those houses have slid down to the bottom of the hill because they're getting rain in Northern California like they never had rain before. I mean, they even put a song out there, said, it never rained in California. California girl. Well, it rains there now like it never rained before. Flooding is devastating the West. Tornadoes and hurricanes and fires inflict damage totaling tens of billions of dollars now. America is under judgment. Or am I the only one who sees that the day of the Lord is coming? Consider the sin and evil that runs rampant in our world. We're living in a generation, come here, that calls evil good and calls good evil. I mean, the stuff they used to tell us as kids, don't hang your dirty laundry out to, you understand, to dry. They used to tell us, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Do you know now, anything and everything goes now because it doesn't matter. The linen ain't dirty now because nothing is wrong. There are no absolute wrongs anymore. And when we were growing up, wrong was wrong. Am I in here by myself? Right was right and wrong was wrong. Black was black and white was white, and there was no in between. We're living in a society, come here, that protects the wicked and punishes the righteous. We're living in a world where fear has replaced faith and sin has replaced sanity and greed has replaced God and hatred has replaced holiness. America is under the awesome judgment of God. You can see it in our home. You can see it in our community. I mean, look at Chicago, look at Rochester, look at Memphis, look at St. Louis, look at Philadelphia. I mean, look at New York. There's so much trouble around us. My mama say, you better not come home. Memphis is so bad now. I don't know whether you can make it in Memphis. I said, mama, if I'm making it in Rochester. I mean, when I pull my car up in the garage, my doors are locked, and I'm looking in every window I got before I get out of my car. And when I get out of my car, I got my door keys in my hand because you can't play. Most devastating of all is preaching has been replaced with praise songs. Holiness has given ways to happiness. We're concerned now with making everybody happy and not getting everybody holy. And the text, the Bible that we preach out of, does not say be happy. It says be holy. Commitment has been replaced with complacency. And that's why the cross is there. Because it's not too late to get ourselves right with God. We get more excited about a shopping trip than we do a revival meeting. We wink at sin and we wince at the holy demands of God. We have lost our fire. We have lost our power. As a nation, we've lost our desire for the things of God. We would rather play than pray. We would rather have our ears tickled than have our hearts searched by the word of God. We would rather be entertained by the preacher than be challenged by the preacher. We would rather stay like we are than become more like him. And I don't know how you feel about it, but to be like Jesus, that's what we're striving for. We don't come here to be like the preacher. We come here to be like Jesus. Meek and lowly, humble and holy. Our world is under the judgment of God. That's why our nation is in the shape it's in. That's why churches are in the shape they're in. That is why we're experiencing in the world now a spiritual drought. You got to do everything now to get people to come to church. And even church is a thing of the past now. If you get them in here one time, you've done good. But when I was a little boy, I mean, there was Sunday school. I got some folk in here who know what I'm talking about. I mean, there was Sunday school. There was morning service, and there was a 3 o'clock program. Then there was BTU. It was just church, church, church. You try church, church, church now. That's why many of our young people have little desire for the Lord. We were raised in Jesus. That's why we become cold, lifeless, and impotent. God has weighed us. And when he weighs us, he finds us wanting. Y'all help me finish this. I told you, this just ain't no pretty preaching today. So notice in this text the problem. They face devastation. They face destruction. They face desolation. They face discipline. I'm learning to just take what God puts on me and try to become a better person when he gets through with me. Maybe that's what Albertina Walker meant when she says, please be patient with me. God is not through. Look at somebody and tell them, God is not through with me. God is not through with me. When God gets through with me, I shall come forth. I shall pray right. I shall study my Bible right. I shall know him as he is when God gets through with me. Well, Pastor, you told us about the problem, the devastation, the destruction, the desolation, and the discipline. Is there anything else in this text? Not just the problem, but notice the plea. Chapter 2, verse 12, even though they are experiencing the judgment of God, there's still hope. God reaches out to them one more time. Can I get somebody to say, thank God for one more time? I could get happy right there. I said, I could get happy right there when I said, thank God for one more time. I need you to help me. Look at somebody and tell them, he didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on me. I ain't talking about just me. Look at somebody and tell them, he didn't give up on me. You know why? You know why you are here this morning? It's because God didn't give up on you. He didn't give up. And I need a moment here. I need a moment here to just lift my hand and tell God, thank God for not giving up on me. When my brothers and sisters gave up, oh, God didn't give up on me. When my friends gave up on me, God didn't give up on me. Can I get a witness here? I really want to preach this. Most times I ask, can I get happy? I really want to preach this. But when I think about how good he's been. So help me stay here. Help me stay here. There is a plea. One, there is a plea for repentance. You know what God is saying to us? He's saying, don't keep doing what you do and not be sorry about it. I know I've done wrong. I know I've said some things. God is saying, I know it too. Ricky, I know you've done wrong. Come here. And I hear God saying, I'm okay. Monique, I hear God saying, I'm okay with your wrong as long. Come here. I got this from the Holy Ghost. I hear God saying, I'm okay with your wrong as long as you are not okay with it. Did y'all hear what? I mean, God just dropped that in my spirit. Anita ain't got that. I say, God says, I'm okay with your wrong as long as you are not okay with your wrong. In other words, when he said that's a plea for repentance, God is saying, I just want you to be sorry. I just want you to be ashamed of what you said. I just want you to have some remorse in your heart. I want you to be embarrassed for what you said, for how you look. I want you to be uncomfortable with what you're thinking. I want you to humble yourself. And God says, if you do that, I'm all right with you. Tell your neighbor, he just say repent. God is just saying, just quit. He's saying, just give it up and repent. But that ain't all. That ain't all. I'm going on. There's a plea for repentance. Come here. Shh. Can you imagine God is begging us to repent so that he doesn't have to spank us? I got some mothers in here. I got some fathers in here. And you went far enough to tell your son, please, don't do that again. Do y'all hear what God is saying? God is saying, please, don't do that again. That's the plea for repentance. But then there's a plea for restoration. Verse 17, God calls on all of his people from the oldest to the youngest. And all he says do is come back. God says, come back. God said, I don't care. I don't even care how you left. But come back. God said, I don't even care what you did when you left. Because if I had not taken care of you when you left and while you were doing what you were doing, you wouldn't be able to come back. So he's really saying in this text, behold, I stand at your door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open up and come in. He's saying, I'll come in and sup with you. I got to leave. It's communion Sunday. I got to leave. Somebody text me and said, what time is church over? I said, we'll be done by 1 today. And I'm trying to stay pure to my word. So one, that's the problem. But then that's the plea. But do you know when God shows us the problem? And then when God gives us the plea, Isn't it good to know that God will turn around and make us a promise? After discussing the problem and declaring the plea, God turns around and delivers a promise. And here he is, the promise in verse 18. He promises restoration. In other words, what the palmer worms took from you. In other words, what the canker worms took from you. Somebody tell God, thank you, Jesus. What the locust and the caterpillar took from you. And I'm talking to somebody who's saying, I still have the same house I bought a long time ago. Well, maybe he didn't take the canker worm, did not take your house. But in your house, you don't have the joy you used to have. And in your house, you don't have the fun, the conversations that you used to have a long time ago. God says, just come back to me and I'm going to give you back your joy. I'm going to give you back your peace. Somebody said, I still have my money in the bank, but tell me, when is the last time you laid down and slept for 8 hours at night? God said, if you just turn around, if you go back to the clouds, I'll rock you to sleep at night. And I know some folk would trade all of their money to just be able to sleep at night. And God said, if you come back, I'll rock you to sleep. I'll wake you up on time. I'll put joy back in your heart. I put happiness in your life. Just come back to God. Can I get a witness here? And he not only promises to restore us. You read the text. He promises a revival within our heart. And you know what revival does. Revival makes us feel rich. Can I get a witness here? Revival makes us feel rich when you don't have a dime. Revival make you want to run when ain't nobody behind you. Revival make you wave your hand, make you love your fellow man. And God says, I promise restoration, I promise revival. Have I got a witness here? And there's one more thing, and I got to leave. He says, if you come back, tell your neighbor, come back. If you come back, I'll give you restoration. I'll put it in your heart. I'll give you revival. You'll look at your hands and say, your hands look new. You'll look at your feet and your feet will too. But then God says, if you come back, I'll give you restoration. I'll give you revival. And I'll give you rejoicing. Yeah! I'll give you rejoicing, let the Redeemer. Is anybody here? Is anybody here? Is anybody here been redeemed? The Bible says, let the Redeemer, Lord God, I done got happy now. I'm tired. I done got happy now. Can I get a witness here? He says, I give you rejoicing. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Have I got a witness here? I got a few questions to ask you this morning. And if you've been redeemed, just say so. Has he been good to you? Has God been good to you? Did he wake you up this morning? Say so. Did he put breath in your body? Say so. Did he put walking in your legs? Say so. Did he put sound in your mouth? Say so. Did he put clapping in your hands? Say so. Did he put love? Did he put love in your heart? I'm gone now. All I'm trying to tell you, you still have a chance. It's not too late to come back to God. I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus. I came. I came. Lord, I came. I came to Jesus just as I was. Can you help me say weary, rooted and sad? Who am I talking to? Can say I found in him. I found in him a resting place, and he made me glad. God made me glad. Who am I talking to? Can say God made me glad. God made me glad. This joy I have. Who am I talking to that's got that joy? This joy I have. The world. Didn't give it to me. Didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. I just want you to tell somebody it's not too late. You still have a chance. Come to Jesus. You got a joy that the world didn't give you. And if the world didn't give it to you, the world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have, world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world. Oh, this joy, the doors of the church, world didn't give it to me. World didn't give it. World can't take it away. Say it again. Oh, this joy word then given to me. This job, word then given to me. Lord, this joy, word then give it to me. Word then give it, word can't take it away. Say again, this joy that I have, word then give it to me. Oh, this joy. The doors of the church are open. There may be somebody else who wants to come to Jesus. And you know that it's not too late. Held this time to let you know that it's not too late. I don't care. God doesn't care where you've been and what you've been in. The Lord held this service to let you know that it's not too late. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. Gave you another opportunity to come to Jesus. It's not too late. You still have a chance. I don't care what the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust, and the caterpillar took. You can come to Jesus. And he said, I'll give you back what they took from you. If you come to me, will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come?
Good afternoon, church. We are blessed to have coming to join with us through baptism, Ebony Bayham. Ebony, would you come up, please? Ebony will be in Family Care Group 6 with Deacon Mitchell.
Family Care Group 6. Can we have some of those members just come stand where you are, or... Deacon Mitchell, you come right over here.
This is Paul.
Paul. Sister Ebony, we welcome you to the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. It's such a huge decision to decide to give your life to Jesus. And that's what your coming forth today represents, that you are going to allow the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And as Pastor preached, we're not saying that everything's going to be roses and peaches and cream. But whatever you go through now, the Lord Jesus will be right there going through it with you. He's going to be protecting you. And you can have that peace in knowing that it's going to be all right, whatever it is you're going through. Amen. And our leaders will work with you to let you know all about the new members' classes so that we can teach you all about this Lord you're giving your life to. And then we will arrange to take you into the water. And that will be your new birthday in Jesus. And you have that confidence, however, right now, right here today, that everything is all right in Jesus. And at the end of service, please come back down here so that Deacon Mitchell can come and talk further. And you may return to your seat now. And this is Deacon Mitchell right here. Let's give her some love as she goes back to her seat. We thank God for your coming forth today. Amen.
Thank you. let us pray. Healer, deliverer, protector, and provider. Father God, we come to you on this Communion Sunday, Father, ask for the many blessings for health and strength, Father. Father, we want to say thank you for all the things that you've done for us and all the things you've kept us from. And we've learned that everything will be all right in due time. Father, right now I ask a blessing on this bread and this wine, that it may be used, that we understand that we do this in remembrance of you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you. never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word for me. One day when I was born, he died on the cross. I know what a for me.
This bread represents our Lord's body. Jesus said, as often as we eat of his body, we do so the remembrance of his suffering and death until he return. Eat ye all of it.